Praise the Lord. I'm Pastor Eric Lambert of the Bethel Deliverance International Church, and I'm pleased to share with you some exciting information. On June the 9th, beginning at 10 o'clock in the morning, we will gather together in the main auditorium of the Bethel Deliverance International Church to share in the exciting topic, the making of a minister. Yes, you see, I realize God has called you into ministry. You feel a pull into this great work, but let's be honest. Being a minister for God is pretty much like being a parent for the first time. You know what you'd like to do, but it doesn't always happen the way you think. What we would like to do is come together to help you sharpen your tools so that you can be a better witness for the Lord and work with your brothers and sisters and let the devil know that we are one. So I'm looking to see you here in the main auditorium of the Bethel Deliverance Church on Saturday, June the 9th, 2018, beginning at 10 o'clock in the morning. I'll be delighted to see you there, and let's come in expecting God to make us one and then turn us loose in this world and show the devil that Jesus is still Lord. God bless you, and I look forward to seeing you at the making of a minister.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Say, I believe God for a miracle.
In 2 Timothy chapter 2, we are not taught how to be disciples. We are called into Christianity. Everywhere else you go, you learn what to do to be more proficient with it. Everywhere. There isn't one thing that you involve yourself in that you don't learn how to be proficient, except Christianity. We become Christians and that's it. We don't want to be discipled. Amen. So let's go. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man strive for masteries, yet he's not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be the first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord will give you understanding in all things. Now listen carefully. I'm going to read this to you out of the Living Bible just because I like the terminologies. He said in verse 3 of 2 Timothy 2, take your share of suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, just as I do. Stop whining about what you're going through. Just take your share of suffering. Listen, every positive in your life has an accompanying negative, all right? When you were younger, especially in your teenage years, you pined, you longed, you yearned for independence. You yearned for it. Okay, when you received it, it came with bills. And then you probably get to a certain point in your life where you lament that you did not realize how good you had it. Mom and Dad don't seem so bad when you weren't paying rent. And so this is what happens in Christ. We sit in the pew and we long for the pulpit. But then when we get up here, we find there ain't nothing up here. Because this is not why Jesus died on the cross. He did not take that suffering so I can be a minister. He took the suffering so I could be God's son. Therefore, the greatest relationship is sonship. But yet we yearn for ministry. Same thing. You say you're called into ministry. Paul says you're called to be saints. You say that when I'm doing ministry, I feel that I'm giving God glory. You give him glory by how you live your life. Are you following me? Therefore, it appears that the calling that you long for in ministry is secondary to the calling to be saints. And yet we are striving for ministry and missing relationships. He's, and as Christ's soldier, do not let yourself become tied up in worldly affairs, for then you cannot satisfy the one who has enlisted you in his army. Follow the Lord's rules for doing his work, just as an athlete either follows the rules or is disqualified and wins no prize. Work hard like a farmer who gets paid well if he raises a large crop. Think over these three illustrations, and may the Lord help you to understand how they apply to you. So in our warfare, we must realize that it's not just putting on the armor, it's living a life worthy of the armor. Living a life worthy of the armor. Look here. If we go to the book of Colossians, Paul writes this particular letter. It's technically a companion to Ephesians. It was written as one of the prison epistles, and it's written to respond to particular challenges that come to the people of Colossae. Now, when he writes this letter, it is to answer the question of the prevailing Gnosticism of that day. There was a particular dogma that sought to strip Jesus of his deity, just as we have now. Nothing new under the sun. This is why you'll notice in the book of Colossians, the letter to the church there in Colossae, you will find that Paul addresses many issues that have to do with the deity of Christ. Why? Because that particular dogma that was spreading through Colossae was stripping Christ of his deity. So Paul had to remind them. Now, he goes past Colossae on his way to other places on his second missionary journey. But he never visits Colossae because he writes in the letter, he said, there are those of you there, many of you there have never seen my face. I've never been into your city. However, you've heard my message. And so the same principles that are found in Colossae are found in the United States right now, because the Bible is not written to sinners. It's God's word to God's people. It's like the Constitution of the United States is not written to the citizens of Russia. So they cannot apply its truths. They're not citizens. A person who is not a citizen, if they're arrested, they don't have the right to remain silent. They're not citizens. Those of us that are, rather by birth or through naturalization, we have those rights. Well, the principles of the Word of God are not designed for sinners. However, God endorses the principles when he finds them being applied, because he's just. That's why he'll bless a sinner if the sinner tithes. Contrary to popular opinion, many of the so-called wicked rich folks of the past tithe. John D. Rockefeller tithed to his church. They pulled records out to show how much he gave his church. He goes by the principle of the Word of God. There's no record that he was a Christian, but he tithed. And as a result of that tithe, his business was blessed. Colonel Sanders tithed, and you still eating his chicken. John Wanamaker, Strawbridge and Clothier, used to shut their store down an hour a day for prayer when it started. Put God first. He blessed them. Their children and grandchildren didn't do it. Now it's no more. You cannot just give God what you want him to have. Now, here's why I say that. The church at Colossae was being caught up in the very things that you and I are caught up in. And I'm going to prove it to you. Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 4, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with what? Enticing words. Now, what does that mean? If someone beguiles you with words, that means that they influence your thought process. Words are designed to influence your thoughts. They don't just cause you to act. They make you think, and it is upon the revelation of the subject you act. And so words are so powerful that Paul says, be careful lest anyone entice you with words. For though I be absent in the flesh, I'm with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith. I'm seeing that many of you are trying to hold on. As you have therefore received Christ, walk in him. There you go. How do you walk in him? Who among us? Don't raise your hand. This is rhetorical. Answer it to yourself. But who among us has truly been discipled by Jesus? Now, some of us are disciples of people, and we call that mentoring, which has really gotten out of hand. It has really gotten out of hand because we don't even know the spirit of the person mentoring us. And we wind up being like them. Instead of one wrong person, now we've got a whole company of wrong people because they've been mentored by a wrong person. And then there's this, in the church today, there's this mindset of fathering. And everybody wants to be a father. But everybody's not geared to be fathers. This is an issue I have with God. You take good parents and only give them one child, and then you take bums and give them five or six, and they wind up abusing their children. Everybody's not cut out to be a father, okay? So we just have these spirits going through the church today. It's warfare. And everybody wants to mentor. Oh, I got to be under you. You got to be over me. And everybody wants to mentor you. And all it is just a way to have you sow into their life money. Every time you turn around, you got to honor your mentor. You got to honor, you're just sowing into their life. They don't even have a job, and we are providing for them. Can't give God what's his, but we make sure we give our mentor. And the mentor is not telling you anything that you can't learn yourself. Paul says, as you therefore have received Jesus, he said, walk in him. Paul loves these idiomatic phrases, walk in him. What does that mean? You don't walk in him. You go back to John's gospel. Jesus has just fed the multitudes the first time. And the Bible says after he did that, everybody wanted to lift him up and make him a big deal. Why? Just because he gave him something to eat. Isn't that amazing? They didn't want to make him a big deal after he raised Lazarus, but after he fed everybody, they wanted to make him a big deal. Don't that sound like us today? All he did was multiply fishes and loaves. I mean, come on. I mean, what was the big deal? He just multiplied fishes and loaves, okay? God's been multiplying food way back in Numbers. The people wanted meat. God says, all right, Moses, I'm going to give them meat. Moses said, look here. We got 600,000 people aside from everybody else that's here. I got 600,000 men aside from all the other people. He said, if we killed every animal we have, we won't have enough meat for these people. Now, the King James uses this Elizabethan phrase, has the Lord's arm been shortened? Cut that. Another translation says, when did I become weak that I can't do what I say? And the Bible said the next day he had a strong wind come. See, sometimes God doesn't do stuff all on his own. He uses what he made. He had a strong wind come and blow a whole bunch of quail. And the Bible said they had so much quail, they died with it in their mouth. So be careful what you wish for.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
3418A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.